As expected, Sunni turnout in today's elections in Iraq was low. As a result, a large portion of Iraq will have little representation in the future government. Dr. Adid Dawisha is an Iraqi-born professor of political science at Miami University in Ohio. He's on the line. Thanks so much for your time, Dr. Dawisha.
Good morning.
Before the elections, obviously, there were stories about no matter what the result, the future government may not seem legitimate because of low Sunni participation. Now that that prediction seems to be true, can you elaborate a little bit on the legitimacy of the government?
Well, the Sunni constitute about 20% of the population. If even a quarter of them end up going to the polls, we do have about 85% of the people who may not all have turned out, but certainly all were enthusiastic about the elections. So there is an element of illegitimacy if the Sunnis don't turn out. But interestingly enough, in terms of the general numbers that have gone to the election, this election has been a major success.
Hmm. How should the parliament now then go about creating the new constitution?
Well, what has been suggested, and I think what will happen, is that the National Assembly will certainly reach out to Muslim parties and to Sunni parties and groups in the writing of the Constitution. The Constitution is not going to be written by the entire Assembly. It's going to be written by a committee that will be formed by the Assembly, and there would be no problem in adding, say, two or three people to this committee who are Sunnis and who represented, who would represent political parties and groups that did not participate in the elections. Therefore, at least you will have a sense of universal legitimacy bestowed on the Constitution, which is, after all, going to be the most important function that this Assembly is going to be making.
What would be the most effective form of a democratic government? I mean, you've got a generation of Iraqis now that has known only a dictatorship, and
yes,
and stability and order are what strong regimes can offer.
But, you know, just to answer that very quickly in an elliptical way, the fact that Iraqis have not had a true election for over 50 years, the last relatively free election was June of 1954, over half a century, and then you have an election being called in the midst of the of great intimidation and threats, and indeed some apparently some of these have been perpetrated by the terrorists, yet you have long lines and you have polling stations that get attacked and then within 2 hours open again and people line up. That shows you that there is an innate proclivity amongst the Iraqis to go to the polls, to have elections, to have a representative government, to have a voice in government. And that, to me, augurs well for the future.
What about the future beyond the borders of Iraq? Neighboring countries watching this election very closely, depending on how one defines success or failure. The attempt itself, what effect will this attempt have on other countries?
I think many of the governments and the states on the borders of Iraq are not feeling very comfortable today. Yes, on the one hand, they did want it to go on because they also fear the instability in Iraq might spill over into their countries. But I don't want to be too melodramatic to say that probably a successful election that might lead in the future over the next 2 years to a successful democratic Iraq might be more of a threat to them than the terrorism and the chaos that reigned Iraq over the last year or so.
Adid Dawisha is professor of political science at Miami University in Ohio. Dr. Dawisha, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.